I'm David Smith, and this is In a Word. Out of the New Testament books, I love them all. I guess it depends on what day you catch me. I would say that's my favorite book of the New Testament. I really love the book of Hebrews because it draws together the Old and the New Testament so well. In fact, you can't hardly understand the Old Testament without the book of Hebrews, and you really can't understand the book of Hebrews without the Old Testament because it's the connection between the two of those. And it shows us so much about what the Lord accomplished by His death in the roles that He now fulfills for us. I want to read a section of the book of Hebrews, and I want to point out a word that's used to describe a role that Jesus now fills that makes a very valuable contribution to your current state as a Christian. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Listen carefully. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, now listen carefully, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now the Lord is said to be a number of things here. He's a minister, a faithful minister. He offers gifts and sacrifices, a reference to his once for all sacrifice of his life. Notice in the first verse, he's our faithful high priest. He is a king sitting at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. But according to verse 6, he is our mediator. I love that word mediator, and you ought to as well. The word mediator here is from a word that in its root form means literally in the middle. In the middle. The idea is when it was used to describe a person, it was used of a person who stood between, in the middle between, two different parties. He stood as a voice between those two parties. Someone who was able to plead the case of one party to the other and then plead the case of that one party back to the original party. The idea is that he was an arbitrator between these two parties. Sometimes that word was often used to describe the idea of being a surety or a guarantee between two parties. But the idea basically is standing between two people and making possible the communication between those two parties. Now, the concept of a mediator is not a new concept to the New Testament. It's not just new and profound. Even in the Old Testament, men understood the necessity of someone who could stand between them and God and plead their case for them. I think of Job chapter 9, verse 32 and 33. Job says, "For he is not a man," he's speaking of God, "as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. For there," he says, "neither is there any daysman betwixt us." And if you'll look at your marginal notes of your Bible, most of them have something like, "there's no umpire between us, that he might lay his hand upon both of us." The idea is, there's no effective mediator. There's no one who can adequately plead my case to God and stand between me and God and make my approach to God possible. Even then, he understood that a mediator is necessary between God and man. But in order to be an effective mediator, the person who stands in the middle has to be perfectly God and perfectly human. Now, there's no question that Jesus is divine. He is God in the flesh. But he's also flesh. In Hebrews chapter 2, 16, and really down to about verse 18, the writer of Hebrews makes it clear that God became flesh so that this man, God, could effectively mediate our position to God. "For verily," he says, "he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Now notice verse 18. "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." And now, I want you to notice what all of this means for us today. You say, okay, what does that mean? that Jesus is a mediator. Well, notice the Hebrews writer in Hebrews 8 says, He is a mediator. So there's something about the mediatorial work of Jesus that makes it very applicable for us today. What does that mean? Well, I want you to notice that without Jesus being our mediator, there is no hope of you coming to God. No hope for me coming to God. Jesus is what makes our coming together possible. Now, the way that He did that, of course, was by His death. But that mediatorial role allows me and the Father to be brought back together. There's no way without the mediatorial work of Jesus that that's even possible. Also, and by the way, you could add words like atonement, reconciliation, redemption, all those words go into that concept. Propitiation, those are great words there. But also notice that with Jesus being our mediator, He makes it possible for us to pray to the Father. Did you know that without Jesus being a mediator, you had no hope? You have no hope now praying to God, the Father, and having that prayer heard. In Colossians 3:17, whatsoever we do in word or in deed, we're to do it all by the authority of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ, through Him. That means that we go to the Father through Jesus. That's the mediator. What a blessing it is to have prayer. But did you know that without the mediatorial work of Jesus, without Him standing in the middle, we'd have no hope of God the Father hearing and answering our prayer? Also notice that with Jesus as our mediator, He knows what we are going through. Now, that does not mean that He experienced sin, but He experienced temptation. In Hebrews 4:15, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He faced the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. On a daily basis, He faced that. He knows what it's like to struggle with temptation. He never gave in to it, though. But He understands. He understands what it's like to go through the emotions of humanity. Remember John 11:35, Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus. He wept. Jesus knows what it is like to experience this broad range of human emotion. He knows the frailties of the flesh. He can now plead your case in that sense, in a manner of speaking, to the Father. He is able to be our advocate to the Father as He stands in between you and I and the Father. He is our mediator. He stands in the middle. Listen, without Jesus working effectively as our mediator, there's no hope of us ever having salvation or approaching unto God or having our position understood by God the Father. Jesus makes that possible because He's the mediator. And notice He's the mediator of the New Testament, of a better covenant. We don't want the mediators of old covenants. We want the mediator of the better covenant. And that's why we encourage men, you listen to the Son of God, you listen to what He says in the New Testament, the law to which we're amenable today, because to obey His conditions of pardon gives you access to God the Father through the mediator of Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 2:5. Aren't you thankful to have someone in the middle between you and God? Mediator, that's been our word for today. I'm David Smith, and this is In a Word.